first lesson for this seventh Sunday of Easter festival, the Ascension of our Lord, is recorded in the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 1. Beginning with the first verse, this will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. Luke writes, "I wrote my first book, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began doing and teaching until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he presented himself alive to the apostles with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and told them things about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father promised, which you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they were together with him, they asked, 'Lord, is this the time when you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' After he said these things, he was taken up while they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he went away. Suddenly two men in white clothes stood beside them. They said, 'Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" The word of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We should be happy for him, right? Jesus has completed his work. He has lived the perfect life that his Father required. He has suffered an innocent death on the cross. He has defeated death by rising from the dead. He has completed his great mission of rescuing all mankind. All that's left for him to do is to ascend to glory, ascend in glory to his rightful place at the right hand of his heavenly Father, where he will rule all things, all creation, for all eternity. We should be happy for him, right? So why is it, though, that whenever we celebrate the ascension of our Lord, there's always a little tinge of sadness? Why does our joy always seem to feel a little bittersweet? Where is our Easter hope gone? Why do we feel like we're still staring intently into the sky with Jesus' disciples, waiting for him to do something when he's visibly left us for the last, it's been 2,000 years since he visibly left us? We should be happy for him, right? He has gone up to glory, yet we remain here. He receives all the worship and honor and glory of all the hosts of heaven. Think about it, all the countless saints and angels bowing before him. And we're here. We're left here with a few drops of water, a bite of bread, a swallow of wine, and a book full of promises. And we're here in a world hell-bent on consuming itself and taking us with it. Think we might have gotten the raw end of the deal here. Now, I wonder if the disciples, or at least some of the disciples, perhaps had that thought pass through their minds as they made their way down the Mount of Olives. They had just seen their risen teacher and Lord visibly ascend up into the heavens and then disappear behind the clouds. Yeah, they'd had a conversation with a couple men in white after that, but 40 days had passed. 40 days had passed since they had heard the unbelievable news. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. 40 days had passed since they had peered into an empty tomb that still remained empty to that day. 40 days had passed since Jesus had appeared in their midst, dispelling for time and eternity all their doubts about him really being alive and no longer dead. Dispelling all doubts for time and eternity that Jesus had won the victory over death. For 40 days, Jesus had appeared to them again and again and again. His victory was won. There really wasn't much left for him to do except give some final instructions, teach some final lessons to his disciples, and then to ascend gloriously into heaven. Teach them, and then return to his heavenly throne. So Jesus takes his disciples up to the Mount of Olives, and even to this day, you stand up there in the Mount of Olives, and you can see everything. You can see all the locations, the important places of what took place on during Holy Week. You look and you could see the Temple Mount, at Jesus' time, the grand and glorious temple where he had gone to when he had entered triumphantly on the back of a donkey. You could see the upper room, the building with the home with the upper room where Jesus had had his last meal with his disciples, celebrated the Passover one last time and instituted his Holy Supper. And you could see down at the base of the hill, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was betrayed. In the distance, you can see the house of the palace of the high priest. You can see the palace where the Roman governor had stayed. You can see the barracks of the soldiers. You could see all of these things. You could see that skull-shaped rock outcropping just outside the city gate. And then near there, you can see that garden cemetery where the tomb still was empty. You could see all of it out there. But the risen Christ, who had just weeks before had topped that hill on his way to suffering and death, while he was now preparing his disciples for him to leave, for him to return to his Father. So Jesus told them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus had a very important mission for these disciples. They would be his witnesses, testifying to his victory, to his great work of rescuing mankind. They would testify to his victory over death. They would take that good news. They would go to the ends of the earth taking that good news. But he would no longer be with them visibly. Was Jesus abandoning them when they needed him most? Why give such an important mission to his disciples and then take off for heaven? Why leave them to fend for themselves? Perhaps that doubt passed through their minds in the days after that. Why did the Lord leave us now? He's given us such a big task, such an important mission, and there are so many people out there. This world is so big. How can we possibly be his witnesses, not just here in Jerusalem, but to the ends of the earth? Such uncertainty threatened to rob them of their hope in the living Savior. Do you still have your Easter hope? You should know what I'm talking about. You know that certainty and confidence that you feel on Easter morning that burns brightly with that joyous news that Christ is risen? Making sure you're awake. On Easter morning, the music was glorious, filling every corner of this building. The fragrance of the Easter lilies was overpowering. Faces, what a joy to see faces of people, familiar and not familiar. And above all, there was that great, glorious good news that Jesus lives. You know, on a day like that, you have to work hard to not rejoice. You have to work hard to not have hope, to not have your hope renewed, to feel renewed after that repentant darkness of Lent and Holy Week. It's hard to not be filled with hope in the reality of Christ's resurrection. But what about 40 days later? It's mid-May. Lilies are long gone. What remains of them? The bulbs were planted in my flower bed yesterday. The music, it's joyful. But it's more back to what we typically have in worship. The school year is near its end, only a couple more weeks here. The temperatures, the warmth of late spring and early summer, it's starting to fill our days. Starting to see 90s down the line. But what of your Easter hope? Does it still burn brightly as it did on Easter morning? Or has your hope really kind of lagged and become more of an I hope so hope again? Well, I hope this works out. If your hope is lagging, how can you renew that Easter hope long after our Easter celebrations are over? Well, consider what the Lord told his disciples. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. For the disciples, they would have to wait a week and a half before Jesus would keep his promise. The Lord would pour out his Holy Spirit on them on Pentecost. But what of us? Well, on Pentecost, those disciples would take the gospel out to the world. They would proclaim it. They would teach it. They would preach it. They would write it. They would pour it out with baptismal waters. They would distribute it with bread and wine. They would take that good news to the ends of the earth and pass it on to others who would pass it on to others. And every generation after them would do the same, proclaiming, preaching, teaching, pouring out, distributing. Until finally it came down to us in our generation. How could they do it? How could they carry out that mission of being Christ's witnesses? How can we? Well, it starts with a promise. Now, the gospel writer Matthew, he tells us that Jesus told his down and doubting disciples, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Savior didn't abandon his disciples to ascend in glory. The Savior guaranteed his presence among them and with them until the end of time. Jesus had kept every other promise to them up to that point. Why would he abandon them now? And he doesn't abandon us. The Lord still remains with each of us, and he daily guides us. But how does he do that? Well, recall what he has left us. A few drops of water, a bite of bread, a swallow of wine, and a book full of promises. Now, at first glance, that doesn't seem like much until you take a closer look at those simple gifts. With a few drops of water, the good shepherd takes every little lamb and every straying sheep and wraps them close to his heart for all eternity. He welcomes every son and daughter, young and old, into his family through a miracle and rescues them from the fires of hell. He marks each of us with the sign of his holy cross by which he has cleansed us of our sins. Or consider the bite of bread and the swallow of wine. This isn't just bread and wine that somehow just symbolize Christ's body and blood, but no, Jesus gives us himself, gives us his very body and blood in, with, and under bread and wine. Christ himself is present in his supper. And in that supper, Jesus personally assures you, he assures me of the full and free forgiveness of all our sins. He personally revives our hope in him, hope that remains certain no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what life throws at you, pandemic, uncertainty, crises, unrest, unemployment, fear, you name it. In the supper, Jesus enables us to live each new day in hope in him. And then there's that book full of promises. Well, really, it's more than that. It's the book of God's fulfilled promises. Consider the Savior's words recorded by Luke that we heard earlier. "Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." By his life, by his death, by his resurrection, by his ascension, Jesus fulfilled every promise written about him, assuring us that every promise he left behind would be fulfilled. Those are facts. That is reality. That comforts us, knowing that he will remain with each of us until the end of time. Now, among those promises, the Savior also reminds us why he had to ascend in glory. Jesus had to return to heaven to prepare a place, a home for us. When life is tough, when you grow weary of the struggle, when everyone and everything seems against you, you listen for that distant triumph song. And Christ renews our hope with the fact that someday we will be with him in heaven. Someday we will be there and we need not be troubled. He told his disciples, he tells us, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am." As our ascended Lord, Jesus guides all things for our eternal good. Even when the world around us descends into chaos, Jesus remains our King of Kings, who has all things under his almighty and gracious control. We can be confident of that, trusting in Christ's gracious promises, guaranteed in his resurrection, and knowing this, that we will have eternal life with him in heaven. Yet didn't the angel say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky?" Didn't they say, "This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven?" You know, there's one more promise left behind here, one more promise left to be fulfilled, one more promise that fills our hearts with certain hope. That promise is this. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon. The Son of Man will come back. He has not abandoned us, but will return as we have seen him go. Christ himself will return in glory and bring us with all the saints to be with him in heaven for all eternity." And as we look at life, as we look at the world around us, so often don't perhaps we think this, that that day can't come soon enough. We should be happy for him. And we are. Yes, there is bittersweet joy every time we celebrate the ascension of our Lord. Yet Jesus has taken his rightful place as the King of Kings for us. That's what makes this celebration so full of joy. He will be with us always. He will return just as he left us, and so we look forward with joy. We long for his coming again. And until then, we spend time with the Savior who still lives for us. We spend time with the Savior who still guides all things for our good. We wait with certain hope. Because of this true and certain fact, Christ is risen. Amen.